Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from New Jersey is Deb Sabatini-Henley. Deb is the founder and president of Resility. Deb will be speaking at the 2019 Compliance and Ethics Institute on the subject of professional skepticism. Deb, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. I'm really delighted to chat with you.
And it's great to have you. Now, your session at the Institute has a great title, Professional Skepticism. What do you mean by that?
Well, first I have to give credit to my partner, Suri Surinder, who came up with that title. We do work with compliance and ethics departments, with audit departments, talking about the importance of our objectivity, right, in our professional judgment. And one of the things that we've come to realize is that we spend a lot of time talking about unconscious bias with clients on discrimination, on diversity and inclusion, on harassment. But when we stop and look in a mirror, do we have unconscious biases that can affect our professional judgment? And so Suri calls that our professional skepticism. So I thought that was a nifty title, and I'm glad we get to talk about it at the Institute.
No, it's definitely atypical and certainly a topic worth exploring. And, you know, for the rest of the podcast, why don't we drill down on this one area that you're talking about, which is unconscious bias. I think it would be good if you could give people a definition of what that means exactly.
Okay, sure. Unconscious biases are our predispositions, our preferences to decide or behave a certain way for or against things. They aren't always bad. Unconscious biases are not always bad. In fact, it's something that just comes to us because our brains can't process the gazillion bits of information that are coming at us at every moment. So our brains do this thing where they sort of recognize patterns and I don't want to say jump to conclusions, but fill in the blanks between all of those gazillion dots of information that we're getting in order to keep moving at the speed that things are happening. Too complicated, or just, does that make it worse or better?
No, I think it makes it better. So what is the source of it? Is it just information overload?
Well, it's actually the efficiency of our brains, the heuristics, the mental shortcuts that our brains do, so that we don't have to come up with new answers every time we get the same question or a similar question or situation confronts us. Suri tells me that our brains are hit with something like 11 million bits of information every moment, but that we're actually only able to process 40 bits consciously. So it's just a way of our brains being able to keep up with sort of the speed of life.
So how do we know, you know, if we have it, if it's so unconscious for us, you know, so we can start being aware of it?
Well, actually, we all do this. We all have these unconscious biases. And as I said, they're not always bad. They're part of intelligently processing. It's unfortunate that sometimes we sort of jump through these preferences right to conclusions that maybe aren't a good fit for the situation that we're in. You know, as professionals, for example, we want to be sure that we're aware of these vulnerabilities in our judgment. We want to be aware that we're not always going to be rational or objective as we confront situations in our work, well, or in our personal lives. And really, regardless of how many years we've been doing what we do, we have to assume that our brains are going to have these preferences, that maybe we're going to see things that aren't there or hear things. Well, I don't want to make us sound crazy, but fill in the blanks for maybe evidence we don't actually have. I like to advise clients to use sort of a simplified way of thinking about this by just saying, how do I know what I know? How do I I'm going to assume that every so often I have to stop and say, do I have all the facts here? You know, before I make a decision, before I size somebody up, or before I analyze the results of risk assessment or an investigation, how do I know what I know? How do I know that what I'm calling facts are actually the whole picture? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it sounds like, though, it's a great challenge, because it makes us really question ourselves and, you know, ask the question, do I know this based on facts, or have I just made a series of assumptions based on one or two facts and leapt to the wrong conclusion? So in addition to just stopping and pausing, what are the best ways for compliance professionals can mitigate this, you know, risk of bad decision making from this unconscious bias in themselves?
Well, you know, the session that we're doing at the Institute, we have a number of examples, sort of real life examples, that can help us think about ways to, I would say, mitigate the way these unconscious biases kind of jump into our decision making. So very often, just slowing down can help us process information more thoroughly. Often the motivators, the sort of external pressures that have us jumping to conclusions have to do with, you know, time deadlines, workload pressures, you know, somebody's pushing us for an answer or a result. And we have to find the sort of the backbone to say, slow down, I need a little more time, or let me get back to you. And, you know, as experts, we don't like to have to say, I'm not ready, or I don't know. But that's really a good sort of a good fallback when we haven't, when we feel like we haven't had a chance to make sure we have all of the information that we need. Another really good mitigator is to bounce things off of someone else. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot in diversity and inclusion is that we can make better decisions, we can be more innovative, we can consider a broader spectrum of opportunities in a business when people from different backgrounds with different perspectives are all sort of bouncing ideas around, right? So the same would go for whether we've made the right decision or a thorough decision about evidence that we're analyzing, bouncing it off of someone else, you know, particularly if it's sensitive investigation information. Another compliance professional or risk professional can help us think through whether we're seeing everything we need to be seeing in the evidence we've gathered.
Now, one of the problems with unconscious bias is it does lead to a lot of issues in the workplace. And obviously, it's one of those things where, as part of a compliance and ethics program, you want to do the best you can to discourage others from making decisions based on people's, you know, biases. How best can compliance and ethics teams encourage other people to sort of identify these things and go beyond them?
Well, you know, we find that if we're doing training, the best way to get people to kind of think outside their biases is by doing kind of role playing. So, you know, if there's, especially if we know that there's a particular issue in a department, for example, coming up with a fictitious company that has some of the same issues and having people role play characters that we make up who, you know, maybe have some of these biases themselves. It's easier to sort of see these things when we can reflect them sort of outside ourselves. And then after we've gone through a scenario like that, kind of take off our character hats and talk about what the challenges were, what, you know, how did we get through them? I think that we also find that if a company has, or an organization has, some pretty clear values that, you know, actually live in their culture, not just in their code of conduct or on a poster on the wall, if we can hook some of that training onto values that are meaningful, so if there's a value of mutual respect or teamwork or courage, we can help create kind of a way that people can push back on each other by saying, you know, by using the values language. The other thing that we find helpful is using different formats for these kinds of discussions, because this is, you know, I think what we've seen in the wake of the Me Too stuff, we have a session we call We Too, where we really help organizations find ways to discuss these things, because if we can't talk about the things that are offensive or bothersome that other people are saying or doing, then we kind of harbor them and things snowball. So by getting people to find ways of talking with each other, hopefully we can give them tools and kind of tips.
Well, Deb, thanks so much for sharing all this insight here on the phone with us. And I look forward to hearing what people have to say once they get to see your session and hear it at the 2019 Compliance and Ethics Institute. Finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.